You received a bulletin. There's the outline for the lesson on the back of the bulletin. If you'd like to follow along, the lesson is taken from the text that was read to us this morning. By way of introduction, just for information, the Thanksgiving Day is a national holiday in the United States, commemorating the harvest of the Plymouth Colony in 1621. The event followed a winter of great hardship. When it was first inaugurated, only a few eastern states participated. But however, through the effort of Sarah Hale, a change was effected. She was fired with determination of having the whole nation join together in setting apart a national day for giving thanks, and the quote is, "Unto him," meaning God, "unto him from whom all blessings flow." To this end, she resolutely engaged the press with an endless flow of letters and articles to the various newspapers and the journals of her time. And in addition, she pleaded long and earnestly with three presidents, Fillmore, Pierce, and Buchanan, during the period of 1846 through 1856. A small measure of triumph was granted in the year 1852 when her campaign succeeded in uniting 29 states in making the last Thursday of November as Thanksgiving Day. Then came the Civil War. Who would listen to a lone woman with her persistent plea for, quote, "just one day of peace amidst the blood and strife"? One man did. Her persistence won the ear of a great American, and in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln officially proclaimed the last Thursday of November as a day set apart for the national giving of thanks unto Almighty God. Lincoln lived to see only two such occasions, but Sarah Hale lived into her 90s, content that her long-cherished hope had at last become a reality. And then on a side, now President Delano Roosevelt in 1939 moved Thanksgiving Day from November 30 to November 23, the fourth Thursday of that month. And officially in 1941, it will be held on the fourth Thursday of November and not necessarily the last Thursday of November. Just interesting. For our lesson, though, the Bible has a lot to say about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. The word thanks appears in the Bible 75 times. The word thanksgiving appears 28 times. The word thank is found 27 times. Thankful is mentioned 3 times. Thanksgivings is found twice. And thankfulness appears 1 time in the Bible. So the word thanks, or the related words of thanks, appears a total of 139 times in the New Testament. I know our nation is dedicated, as we recognize this season or this week, for one day to remember to be thankful. But as we always say, and as others and so many people say, we need to be thankful every day. And we are. Many people are. And in the psalm that was read to us this morning, it gives us the lesson gives us the words for our lesson this morning. 7 phrases I'm going to take from that text in Psalm 100. The first one, I've titled "The Sound of Thanksgiving." Verse 1, Psalm 1. "Make a joyful shout or a noise unto the Lord." Doesn't say sing like a professional, for which many of us are thankful. Or it doesn't say sing in perfect tune. It says make a joyful shout or a noise unto the Lord. And that comes from a joyful people. It says make a joyful shout unto the Lord, all you lands. So Well, there's an obligation for everybody everywhere to give a shout or a joyful noise to God. No one's left out. All you lands. Everyone, just make a shout. There was a couple that worshiped with us years and years ago. Chip and Sandra Baumgartner. One of my favorite stories. But she said, Brian, one time says, I don't want anyone to sit in front of me in the worship assembly because I make a joyful noise. And they may think it's just noise. So she always wanted to make sure she sat where no one was sitting exactly in front of her to hear her noise. But she wanted to sing and make a joyful shout. And that's what she did. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 2, verse 12, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church, I'll sing praise unto you. Now, the first Christians in Acts 2, verse 47, were found praising God. So one of the first things when we think about the psalm is the sound of thanksgiving. It's just a shout, a joyful shout or noise. But second in the psalm is the service of thanksgiving. If you're thankful, we want it to show. We want it to show. In verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. And if you're going to serve, I put the definition in your notes, and you know what service means, but I'm going to work or minister. I'm going to consider it my duty to offer thanks to God. That's part of my service. I'm going to have active involvement. I'm going to ask somebody else, what do you need? What can I do for you? Or may I get that? You know, let me help. Service. An interesting phrase. Serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, I want my service to be a joy, a pleasure. I don't want to have my service be grumpy. Or, oh, I'm all right if I have to. I want to serve with gladness. I want it to be a delight. And when I looked up the word gladness in the dictionary, one of the words was tickled. Will you help me? I'll be tickled to do that. Let me help you. It means I want to. When I give service, I want to do it in a good mood or disposition. I want to be cheerful in my service, and I want you to know, yes, I want to be there for you, and I will work with a smile on my face. Serve with gladness. Serve. It should be done when we come into the assembly, when we participate in a worship assembly. Psalm 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. I hope when it's time for worship assembly on the Lord's Day, on Sunday morning, that you're glad. You're glad. Oh, it's going to be, this is a joy. Opportunity for cheer. In Psalm 67, verse 3, let the people praise you, O God. Let the people praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. All the service. Even in our worship assembly, sometimes we call it our worship service. Yeah. I want this to be a time of joy. I want you to look forward to assembly. I want you to wake up Lord's Day morning and say, I'm glad that we get to attend a worship assembly. I'll be glad. Be tickled. It's the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. Number 3 is the singing of thanksgiving in verse 2. Come before his presence with singing, meaning that joyful noise. Paul described it in the congregation of Ephesus in Ephesians 5:19. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Make melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks. Oh, our singing. And many of our songs are thanksgiving songs. Or songs of praise to God. It says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I want to sing with thanksgiving. Ephesians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There's the singing of thanksgiving. So when we assemble together for worship, singing is part of that event. We sing and give thanks and praise to God. Number four is the knowledge of thanksgiving. And the author or the psalmist mentions two things. There's lots of things to know about thanksgiving, but this author mentions two things. First one is in three. Know that the Lord, he is God. I want you to know that. Know that the Lord is God. In Exodus 20, verse 1, right before they receive the Ten Commandments, it begins this way. Exodus 20, verse 1. God spoke all these words. And he said, I'm the Lord your God. I'm the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. First commandment. The knowledge of thanksgiving. He says, I want you to know the Lord, that he's God. In John 4, verse 23, Jesus meets that woman of Samaria at the well. And Jesus, in his conversation to her, said, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father. They'll worship in spirit and in truth. The Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Know that the Lord, he's God. The knowledge of thanksgiving. And then the second reason he says in verse 3, continues, it is he who made us. I want to know that too. In Psalm 139, verse 14, I put it in your notes. I'll praise you. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. And that my soul knows very well. I want you to know and have that knowledge of thanksgiving that the Lord is God. And then second, the author says, and he made you. Number five are the people of thanksgiving. And here's two more things to know. Still in verse 3. Know that we are his people. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. We're his people. I'm part of the family of God. And just we have care and concern for family, we want to have care and concern for one another. We're his people. Thank you, God. Thank you. And then second, he says in verse 3, and we're the sheep of his pasture. And you're familiar with the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The people of thanksgiving. I'm God's people, and I'm the sheep of his pasture. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Thank you. Thank you. We're the people of thanksgiving. And so we want to know, God, I'm part of your people, and I'm the sheep of your pasture. Then number six is the showing of faith. The showing. It's in verse 4. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. bless his name. See, the text is saying to me, Brian, I don't want you to just think thanks. I don't want you to just wish thanks. I want you to give thanks. It's thanksgiving. Giving. In Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I want to take it personally. I want to be someone that's thankful. I want to be a thankful person. The showing of thanksgiving. Then the last one, number 7 in your notes. There's 3 reasons for thankfulness that the author mentions, the psalmist mentions. 3 reasons. The first one's in verse 5. For the Lord is good. The Lord is good. It means he's upright, virtuous, benevolent, noble, blameless. It's just good. The Lord's been good to me. Thank you. Why should I be thankful? The Lord's good. Good. Second, his mercy. It's everlasting. Not just a one-time shot. Or 2 or 3. It's everlasting. It's good today and tomorrow and as long as we live. His mercy is everlasting. Thank you, God. Thank you. His compassion toward me is not deserving. He's been merciful to me and to you. In Ephesians 2, verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, God has plenty of mercy. It's not going to run out. His mercy is abounding. He has lots of mercy. Thank you. Why should I be thankful? The Lord is good. His mercy, unending, abounding. There's plenty. It's everlasting. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. And it's everlasting, he said. It lasts. It's always there. It's ceaseless. It's for all time. Why should I be thankful? The Lord's good. Mercy never ceases. It'll always be there. Always. And then the third reason in verse 5, his truth endures to all generations. You see, what God said then works for us today. His truth endures. It endures. It lasts. So, thank you, God. Thank you. There's a lady named Helen Keller. Some of you would know that name. She was born in 1890. She died in 1968. She's a shining example of how to live in a triumphant way. She spoke very glowingly of thanksgiving. This is what she said. I'll close with this. The 3 things I thank, for which I thank God every day of my life. 3 things. Thanks that he's granted me knowledge of his works. Second, deep thanks that he has set me in my darkness the lamp of faith. Yeah. Then deepest thanks that I have another life to look forward to, a life joyous with light and flowers and heavenly song. Of course, as you know, Helen Keller was both deaf and blind. Read those things 3. Now that you know Helen Keller was deaf and blind, I thank God that he's granted me knowledge of his works. Deep thanks that he has set me in my darkness the lamp of faith. And deepest thanks that I have another life to look forward to, a life joyous with light and flowers and heavenly song. So that's the lesson. As Claire said in this prayer, we pray for a blessing from God's word that we take it to heart. Meditate on it. Chew it. Let it sink in. Thanksgiving. Psalm 100. The Psalm of Thanksgiving. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. You're subject to it if you have not obeyed the gospel already. Jesus' last words before he ascended back to the Father. In Matthew 28, he said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. There's all the authority and power and glory. There's nothing above him. All authority has been given unto me. So he challenges them or gives them a commission. So make go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark records that same commission in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 16, where he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus is giving them a salvation commission. Preach a good news message to the people. There's a way for salvation to take place in our life. And Jesus said, you go and tell everyone that message. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. So that's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. You're subject to it if you've not obeyed already. So let's stand together. We'll sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, some exhortation. Number 912. If you need to respond in a public way, just simply let it be known at the close of this song.